Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Overtime Sports Show, coming to you live from the City of Medicine, Durham, North Carolina, on this, the 12th day of August 2016. Well, lots of things happening around the world of sports. Last night, the two Simones, they won gold medals, gymnastics and swimming. For the first time, an African-American female won the gold medal in swimming. Kudos, jump up and down. But one thing I can say about NBC, who was airing the Olympics, such a historic moment in the history of the games. I mean, really. I mean, one of the greatest moments in the history of the game, and they didn't even show the gold medal award ceremony. But they made sure Michael Phelps got on there, but not her. Interesting. I think we as Americans, as African Americans, should start sending emails and whatever else we can to NBC to find out exactly why. I know what they're going to say, but I think that was really, really bad to do that. But tonight we have good news, because tonight our special guest is Coach Sade Swain. I almost blew it. I talked to her right before we came on the air. Swain, and she is the head basketball, women's basketball coach at Bowie State. And we have her on the Overtime Hotline. Good afternoon, Coach Swain, or good evening, Coach Swain. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and you?
Oh, I am doing just fine. Proud to be an American. Looking at history last night, I mean, it's just something. And history being made every day. It's African Americans make strides in, quote, non-traditional African American sports. Right now we have a fencer who's fencing the crap out of everybody. We got a polo, a young lady in water polo who's water poloing the crap out of everybody, and no one can absolutely understand what's going on. And I can tell you what's going on is a lot of our young ladies and young men are starting these, quote, non-traditional sports, and we're really, you know, starting to master these sports because, well, they just have the drive to do so. I mean, you look at the backgrounds of some of these young ladies. You know, foster homes, the swimmer, she's going to Stanford University. I mean, they're not dumb people. They're brainiacs, and they also have talent. So kudos to them, and kudos to, you know, their parents for raising them like they did to give them that level head, and they really are good kids. Well, let's talk about Bowie State University. Let's talk about your basketball team. You were recently named the head basketball coach, got rid of the interim tag, and now you're the head coach. Tell us a little bit about the journey that led you to Bowie State and the head coaching position.
Well, when immediately after I finished my college career at Goucher College, which is in Baltimore, Maryland, I began coaching AAU. I was assistant to my old AAU coach. We were coaching for Team Mello at the time, which was Carmelo Anthony's girls league, 11 and under. I coached with them for a year. Then the following year, 2008-2009 season, I volunteered at Goucher College, which is where I graduated from. 2009-2010, I went to Baltimore City Community College, where we were undefeated. We won the Maryland JUCO championship. And then I took a break from 2010 to 2011. And in 2011, Renard Smith, the guy who was the head coach at Baltimore City Community College, he called me and had me to come coach with him at Bowie. And that's how I got to Bowie.
Well, now, it sounds like you've had an interesting road. You've gone the AAU route. You've gone the community college route. You know, well, I would say JUCO because it's not really community college, but the JUCO route, and then into Division II. Now, what is the how have you seen? All right, the athletes, I understand, are good at all levels. I mean, you have great athletes whether it's junior college or Division II or whatever. But what is the difference between how to achieve success and the different levels that you went to? I mean, AAU is different than going to JUCO. JUCO is different than going to NCAA. What are some of the things that you've seen that will make you successful? What have you picked up along the way starting there, you know, on those levels?
I think with AAU, since they're so young, it's just really trying to get them to learn the skill set. If you can kind of pretty much get them to learn the skill set and buy into what you're trying to teach far as running the plays, learning the defense and everything. Those young ladies, they're still learning, so they're open to whatever the coaches have to offer. So it's just pretty much giving them the skill sets and giving them the knowledge to be successful. When you get to the junior college level, you know, they've graduated from high school. So some of them, they kind of think that they know everything. But the good thing is they know that it's not their last stop. So they're more willing to get out on the floor and, I guess, perform every game, if you know what I mean, because they know that that's not the last stop. So they're looking for a four-year institution. So they know that they can't be lackadaisical. They can't take shortcuts, and they have to just do everything that they're supposed to do and basically follow a straight line. So they're self-motivated. It's more so just giving them the skills and getting them to gel together on and off the court as well. I think the biggest challenge with division – well, I would just say NCAA. Once you get them to that four-year level, everyone that you have was the star player at their last – you know, in high school or at the junior college level, you know, whatever school that they were previously at, they were most likely the star player or the second leading scorer or whatever. So it's more so getting them to gel together and building that team camaraderie to me. If you can get your players to come together, stick together, and play for you and fight for you as a coach, I feel that you can be successful at the Division II or NCAA level. Because at that point, they already have the skill set. It's more so just getting it out of them on the court every single day.
Yeah, you know, I've talked to a lot of coaches along the way over the past. I've done this show now about 8 years, and before that, you know, in coaching myself and everything. And especially on the dealing with basketball. I don't hear it so much from baseball or any other sport. But, you know, talking about AAU, do you think that, and I know that you're into coaching, and I might even know what your answer is to this question, but do you think that AAU is really a help in getting that kid ready to go, I don't know, you know, some of them like to play AAU ball, not high school ball, because the pressures of playing AAU ball aren't necessarily, you know, keeping the grades where they need to be. You can just basically get out there and play. As opposed to, you know, having a strict structure. Do you think that hurts them when they go to, let's say, if they are recruited by a higher institution, that they have to then start to put studies into playing? Because if you don't get your grades, you're not going to play in NCAA or JUCO or anywhere else. So do you think that that's a help or a hindrance to a student-athlete to prepare them to move into, quote, I like to call it the upper echelon of basketball?
I think it could work either way. It really depends on the student athlete and the coach. And the reason why is because you cannot learn everything from practicing once or twice a week, which is, you know, with how often AAU teams usually practice. So if you're just playing AAU and you're practicing twice a week, that's not going to help you because, A, you're not going to get that feel of what you would experience when you go to college, and, B, I just don't think that's enough work, you know, enough work to put in order for you to get better. Now, if you have the right coach and the right player and they decide not to play high school, I think that'll help them because they'll understand that they'll have to put in work, and whether it's individual workouts, strength and conditioning with a trainer, whatever it is, they know that they'll have to work 6 to 7 days a week in order to become better. And I think if they're doing that, then they'll be okay.
You know, it's like my daughter, she played like middle school volleyball, and she played basketball too. And the thing of it is that I didn't understand, especially here I'm in Durham, North Carolina. So you know, the public school system is that if you're in middle school, you only play middle schools in Durham. In other words, I don't go play a middle school out of Greensboro. I don't go play one out of Winston-Salem. And I play against the same kids basically until I get to high school. Then in high school, you may go, you know, you may get an extra game against Greensboro Page or something where you actually get outside of Durham. But basically, if you're in high school or middle school here in Durham, you see the same kids all the time. AAU ball, you play against each other. In high school, you play against each other. So you're not, to me, you're not really taking your talent to the next level, because you're just taking your talent to the level of the guys you've already played. So in other words, if I know your game, I can play to your game. But see, if I play a kid from Havelock, North Carolina, I don't know his game, and it make me step up my game to improve. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why a lot of kids don't want to play high school basketball now, you know, in the high schools, because it limits them. I mean, AAU, I can play a kid from Nevada, Las Vegas. You know, and you know, and I can see what basketball is on the West Coast as opposed to what I've always seen on the East Coast. Do you think that, that high schools, and I know budgets do, you know, I can understand that totally. Budgets limit what you can do. School boards limit what you can do. Even people who never play sports make decisions on limiting what you do. But do you think that the schools in around, whether it's in Maryland or wherever you recruit, do you think they need to expand their horizons and maybe look beyond their borders to see about playing different teams to attract kids?
I do, and that's one of the problems, you know, with the high school level. You may have two good teams, and that, because there's so many different districts. You know, you have the county, you have your private schools, and then you may have the city. So there are so many different districts that there may be two good teams, and then the other teams are just, you know, decent. But you know which teams are going to be at the top of the conference every single year. Now, I do think it helps when you're able to travel outside of your conference. I know here our private schools are able to do so. And as a result, that's why they're the better team, and they're getting recruited more. So I definitely do think, because they kind of, you know, the kids are limited to just this area, and, you know, it's not a guarantee that each one of those players are going to get on a good AAU team. You know, so they need to, they need the exposure while they're in high school. So I definitely do think that the school system should allow them to travel and get outside of, I would say, the comfort zone.
I mean, because, I mean, you look, you know, even my daughter playing basketball, the, you know, the teams they were playing against around here, you know, like Githens and Shepherd and all that stuff. Well, the basic bottom line was they already knew all the girls. So, I mean, I would sit here and hear her talking to her teammates like, well, we know she's going to go to her right. Well, you know when she gets here, she's going to do this. When she gets to the, you know, when she gets to the elbow, she's going to do this. You know that. And see, I'm sitting here thinking, well, if that's the case, I'm going to go and prepare my mind, my body, and my soul that to the fact that she's going to go to the right. And that's all I'm going to do,
right,
whether I play on the middle school level, and then when I get to the high school level, well, she's going to go to the right. So I haven't even advanced. So I played basketball for 6 years in the Durham Public School System, and I played one time for 6 years. Because I never changed,
right,
because I didn't have to, because the same people I played against are going to do the same thing. So I played 1 year six times. And, you know, that always bothered me, you know. But, you know, but let's move on to Bowie now. Last year, like I said, you were 11-17 overall. You were 3-13 in the conference. And, ladies and gentlemen, the CIAA is one of the toughest basketball conferences, Division 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, hopscotch, whatever, one of the toughest basketball conferences in the country. And let's talk about your season last year. I mean, you know, it's not where you want it, but you did win 11 games. Now, the Bugaboo is 3-13 in the conference. Like I said, very tough conference. Teams coming on now. You always got perennial, you know, powerhouse Shaw. You got Chowan that start making, you know, they're coming up. They're up and coming. Virginia State, I can just keep going. Livingstone, I can just keep going about the great teams. Let's talk about last year's season and then bring it into this year's season with, you know, the addition of new players or either returning key players to the team.
Well, last year we actually started off very well. We had some key wins. We played University of the District of Columbia. They make it to the tournament just about every year. We beat Coppin State University, which is a Division I school in the MEAC. So we had some key wins in the beginning of the season. We started off 7-3. And then when we got to conference, we seemed to just fall back a little bit. Truthfully, we weren't that deep. We were led by two sophomores, Kiera Colson and Kaya Proctor. They were our two leading scorers, like I said, in their sophomore year. But it started to take you could see where the season had started to take a toll on their bodies. We finished with 8 players, actually, because of injuries and things of that nature.
So we, like you said, we finished the season 11-17. We went down to the CIAA tournament, and we actually won our first round game against Fayetteville State University, and then we lost the second game to Shawan University in overtime by 2 points. But we finished the game with only 4 people. So
wow.
That was big for us. Of course, 11-17 isn't where we wanted to finish, but it was an improvement from the year before. And for what we had, we were pretty content with that at the end of the season. Like I said, Kiara Colson, she was our leading scorer last year. She was a sophomore, so she'll be coming back as a junior. She also was made all-tournament. Kaya Proctor, she was our second leading scorer. They both averaged close to 15 points. They were only it was a difference between them by about 0.4 of a point. Ashley Jennings, she'll be returning to her senior year. She was our leading rebounder. She added eight rebounds per game last year. So the heart and soul of our team are returning. We have 6 returners. We're bringing in 4 freshmen, and we have 3 transfers. So we weren't that deep last year, but us as coaches, we went out and we looked for some players who could come in and contribute. And we were missing that spark off the bench, so we went looking for players who could be a help coming off the bench and also players that could get in there and help us with rebounds. Because a lot of the games that we lost, it was because we were out-rebounded because we weren't that big last year. But going into this season, you know, ultimately you just want to do better than you did the year before. Our goal is to win the CIAA tournament, don't get me wrong, but as coaches, you know, we want to have above 500 record. We want to finish top, I would say, 4 in the conference because, like you said, the conference is very tough. Those are our goals, but we're going to strive to be first in the conference and win the conference. Those are our ultimate goals. So I do think that we will have a better season than we did last year with what we have coming in.
Yeah, you know, I've said it 1,000 times, the CIAA, both on the men's side and the women's side, probably one of the, if not the toughest conferences in the country. I broadcast for North Carolina Central, so I see a lot of Division I schools. And I'm telling you, I see a lot of Division I, I see a lot of Division II. But when you get to a CIAA team, the first thing you know coming in is, number one, it's going to be a war. You better get ready. Because underneath the board, you're going to get pounded. If you're soft underneath the board, you are in trouble. I can tell you that right now. And Coppin State found that out. I'm telling you, Coppin State found that out. When you guys went up there, you just simply took the ball and said, okay, it's mine, and you can't have it. And that's exactly, you know, the attitude. You know, that's just the way it is. Now, how important – now, you talk about a victory like a Coppin State, which is being a Division I, too. I would like nothing better if I was a Division II team to be a Division I team. That would be like, you know, hey, you know. So, and I'm sure that y'all being within the same area that some of the young ladies may have been recruited by Coppin State or looked at by Coppin State, ignored by Coppin State, and therefore they got a chance to get a little revenge. But a win like that, what does that do for your program? How does that build your program as far as the recruiting base and just that overall feeling of, look at me now?
Right. Well, I think, for one, it gave the young ladies confidence because, like I said, we did better than most people expected for what we had. So I think that win, it definitely gave them confidence to know that they could compete with anybody. And if they just went out and played, gave all of their effort and energy and left everything on the court and played with heart. So I think it was a big confidence booster for our team. For the area, I think it helped because, you know, we're in Bowie. A lot of people from Baltimore don't really get to see us play. And a lot of people don't really know about Bowie. So, once that game was over, you know, we had interviews. It was in the newspaper, on social media. So it brought a lot of attention to the program. And, you know, a lot of schools and high schools and players, they started to reach out to us from the area after that. Because I would say this is our largest recruiting class from Maryland in about 5 or 6 years.
Cool. That's great. Because, I mean,
it's really good.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say that all 4 of the freshmen that we signed are from Maryland.
Well, see, that, you know, I really like that, too. I like schools who's, you know, stick to their what I call like their home base. Because Maryland, mm-hmm. the Maryland, D.C. area, y'all have a plethora of talent. I mean, it is unbelievable mm-hmm. how much talent. I mean, I actually had a coach one time. Now, I want you to listen to this now. I had a coach, and I'm not going to say where it was, but tell me that the reason they did not recruit North Carolina players was because they weren't that good. Oh, that's what they told me. Now, it took everything within me not to just go completely off, because I'm North Carolinian. I'm Tar Heel born and Tar Heel bred, and when I die, I'm going to be an eagle that's dead. That's exactly where I am. I was born in North Carolina. So I had to go, and I went all the way back to the field, got a brochure, brought it back, and the team that they had just, you know, they had just lost the game 12-2, okay? And I opened up the program, and I showed them that out of the nine players that were starting, seven of them were from North Carolina and just put foot up there behind. So don't tell me that we don't have good players in North Carolina. Like, I know Maryland is loaded with good players. Florida definitely is loaded with good players. But I know Maryland, D.C. area has a lot of good basketball players. Now, let's talk about the CIAA overall. Now, of course, we know, you know, last year is last year. You know, a great year, great tournament. Everything went well in Charlotte. But now we're coming up on the 2016 season, 16-17 season. So how does the conference look this year as far as who's going to be the powerhouses, you know, who should they look out for, and just the overall strength of the CIAA?
I think that just as any other year, the conference is going to be very competitive. I really can't say who's going to be the powerhouse, because I'm sure that the teams who didn't do so well last year, I'm pretty sure that they went to reload and they did an excellent job of recruiting. I think that all of the coaches in the CIAA, they do a good job of getting the best talent for Division II and getting those players to work together. I know that, you know, Virginia Union and Shaw, Shawan, and who else? Johnson C. Smith were some of the top teams in the conference this year, North Carolina teams except for Virginia Union. But I'm sure that mm-hmm. they'll be good this year. You know, I really can't say who's going to be the powerhouse, because truthfully, you never know. The conference is very competitive, and anyone can beat the other team on any given day, whether they're first in the conference or last in the conference. You know, that's a good thing. It doesn't matter what place you are. Everyone comes to compete every single night. You know, so,
And, there's a lot of new coaches in the conference this year, too. Winston-Salem has a new head coach, Chowan. Mm-hmm. After the success they had last year, their head coach moved on, and a new coach moving in. And there are, you know, other changes around the league. Now, how does that change your strategy as far as, okay, you know, if you're like me, you kept books on everybody. I had, like, tendency books, and I mean, you would come in my office, and you're like, where do you sit? Because I'd have so much information around me. How does that change your strategy going forth? I know that, you know, there's one basketball, and there's one way of playing basketball with different variations, but it basically boils down to the fact you got to get the ball in the hoop to win the game, and you got to stop the person defensively in order to win also. So it breaks down to offense and defense. I don't care who you are, what kind of new wrinkles you come up with, you still got to get that one ball in that basket. So, but how does that affect your strategy going into the season, knowing that some of the teams that, you know, you would have a decent chance of, like, beating and getting ahead and pushing them down to improve your position in the conference? How do you change your strategy towards playing those teams or getting ready for those teams?
Well, the good thing about our conference is we don't play each other until late December. So So by the time that I would play a team, we would play a team in our conference, they've already played 10 or 11 games. So myself, along with my assistant coaches, we just watch all of the film that we can. You know, we don't just use the film from the prior year, but we'll look at their games from this coming year, break everything down. We're familiar with most of the returning players. So the only adjustment that we would have to make is familiarize ourselves with the new players that they have coming in and, you know, any other plays. Because even though the new coaches may have different strategies and different plays, most of the players will still be the same. And, you know, if you can stop that one player or you know, box out that leading rebounder, then you'll have a pretty good chance of being successful. So, you know, during the first half of the year, before we even play those teams, we'll just make sure that we do an excellent job of breaking down film as much as we can and making sure that our players understand the strategy that the opposing team has.
Yeah, I tell you, isn't it something about breaking down that? Man, let me tell you, I have spent so much time in the dark. One time I thought of a vampire watching films and writing notes. I mean, it was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. That's what you do as a coach. I don't think people understand and give coaches and head coaches and assistant coaches enough credit, and those grad assistants too, because they have to go out and gather that stuff for you. But to give them, you know, because there are a lot of hours. You get them, everybody's out there on game night. They got on these pretty uniforms, and the band is playing, and the popcorn is popping, and mommy's in the stand. But they don't realize the 4,837 hours that we need to break it down and strategize it for that one game, and people just don't understand that. Oh, yeah, another quick question I want to ask you, too. Now, women's basketball, and, you know, I want the NCAA to hear me now. I'm so tired of you experimenting with women's basketball. If you want to impress me, experiment with men's basketball for a change. But anyway, in ladies basketball, they've come up and they've broken it down now into quarters. So it's 4 10-minute quarters. Do you think that that gives an advantage or is it a disadvantage? How do you think that works?
It's kind of tough. To me, it helped us because, like I said, we were short in numbers. So it kind of helped us because we had that extra break. You know, instead of waiting until halftime for that rest, we had a break, or the end of the game, we had a break in between quarters. It helped us to strategize better because we could, you know, in practice, instead of assimilating everything into halves, we were able to break everything down into quarters by quarter by quarter. So I actually think it helped us. It probably really all depends on the coach and the players. But, like, for us this year, I think that it helped us because we were able to get more breaks than we needed and instead of using our timeouts all of the time.
Yeah, go ahead, Coach. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you can go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I get so tired every year. They say, well, you think this will work in the men's game? Oh, I'll tell you what, why don't we just let the ladies try it and see how it works with them? I get so tired of them experimenting with the ladies. I mean, you know, to me it's actually discriminatory. If you're going to sit there and, you know, and then, okay, they're going to adopt it to the men's game now. You know, well, no. You want to impress me? Start with the men. Okay, and then late come down to the ladies if it works. Instead of messing their game up, the ladies' game up, which is the purest form of basketball still left on the planet, because you have to do things fundamentally sound, because you can't fly over the rim. You know, you don't jump 10 feet high. You know, you have to really stay. It's on the floor, and you have to have fundamentals in order to be successful. Instead of messing with the purity of the game, stop it. Mm-hmm. And mess with the men some and calm them down just a little bit. You know, it irritates me. But, Coach, since we got just a few minutes left here, if I was a student athlete that wanted to come to Bowie State, first of all, you're going to want to come for an education. Second of all, if you get that education and do what you're supposed to do, you will have the privilege of putting that uniform on. It's not a right, it's a privilege. What would you tell any parent or a student athlete, a recruiting pitch to them to bring them to Bowie State? What would you say?
Well, first of all, Bowie State is a wonderful place to be. We're a historically black college. We're the oldest in Maryland. It's a family environment. Bowie isn't a big school. It's kind of small, so everyone knows everyone. Everyone is accepting to everyone. Everyone is willing to help. The thing that I like most about Bowie, especially I tell our recruits, Bowie is between Baltimore and Washington, D.C. So during your free time, you have a chance to explore both of those beautiful areas. Most importantly, you're coming to get an education. But when you come to Bowie, you have players and coaches who will truly look out for your best interests. We don't make everything about basketball. We put your personal life and academics first because at the end of the day, our main goal is to help you to become a better person so that you can be productive in this world once you graduate. and we will be friends for life. I don't lose contact with my players. I keep in contact with everyone who I've ever coached to make sure that they're on track, and if they need anything, no matter our relationship, I'm always willing to help.
I mean, isn't it nice when they come back and they bring their kids with them, or they just come back and say, Coach, I'm doing good because of what you taught me? I mean, no matter how tired you are, no matter how beat down you are, doesn't it kind of bring a tear to your eye when you're sitting in your office and they come up and say that to you? I'll tell you what, man, I've had that happen to me, boy. And I'm not the kind of guy that tears up and cries, but daggum it. That right there. I tell them all the time, I'm just sweating.
So
don't mind me. I'm just sweating. Leave me alone. But it really feels great. Well, Coach, thank you so much for appearing here on the Overtime Sports Show. Hopefully during the season I'll get a chance to talk to you again. I know things are fixing to get hectic for you here in just a little while, and you're not going to have time to do anything else. But hopefully you'll find time later on in the season. We'll talk again as we get closer to the CIAA tournament. As a matter of fact, you may even see me down at the CIAA tournament. That would be a great thing.
Okay.
And, yeah, because I'm known to show up places, just out of the blue. So, but thank you so much for appearing on the Overtime Sports Show, and we'll talk at you at a later date.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Hey, no problem, Coach. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye. That was head basketball shot Day Swain, the head basketball coach at Bowie State. Up in Bowie, Maryland. I tell you what, things are looking good there with the Bulldogs, and she is trying to make strides being named the full-time head coach instead of just the interim head coach. Now she's got the whole weight of the world on her back. Well, thank you so much for listening to the Overtime Sports Show. We'll be back again Monday at 6:30 right here on Blog Talk Radio. For more information, just go to our website at www.theovertimesportsshow.weebly.com. That's www.theovertimesportsshow.weebly.com. And on Twitter, at TheOvertime1410. On Facebook, go to The Overtime Sports Show, or just put in Mike Wood and everything will pop up and you'll see exactly what we have coming up, future shows, future guests, and we got some good ones coming up. Find all of that, though. You can just go to our website. It takes care of everything. Once again, that's www.TheOvertimesportsShow.weebly.com. Until Monday, goodbye, everybody. But you should know that I've got your back.